Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congressman Dean Phillips is good enough to join us. He is the 3rd District Congressman from the state of Minnesota, and he is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dean, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to get to the surprising news, which popped up yesterday afternoon when Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer agreed to a deal on a climate and a tax plan. I'm going to read the second graph from the New York Times story on this. The package would set aside $369 billion for climate and energy proposals. This is the most ambitious climate action ever taken by Congress. It will raise an estimated $451 billion in new tax revenue over a decade while cutting federal spending on prescription drugs for $288 billion. Many people look at the $451 billion and say, is that really going to happen? And is it the right thing to do when this country is getting crushed right now by inflation? How can you ensure us that that money will approach that figure and that the right people will be targeted for that amount of money?
Well, Chad, first let me say that I've shared with you many times a lot of surprises I've had in my 3 years in Congress so far, most of them unfortunate ones. This one, a very positive one. And I think if the country takes the time to actually read the legislation, the initiatives, it is something that we should be celebrating. Just to walk through it really quickly, we're finally going to ensure that companies, the largest companies in America, many of whom are not paying any tax right now, are subject to a 15% minimum corporate tax. It's about 200 of the largest companies right now that pay less than that. That raises $300 billion. Prescription drug price reform, finally forcing Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs. By the way, Chad, the same way VA does right now to ensure that taxpayers aren't footing the bill for list price pharmaceuticals, and capping expenditures for those on Medicare at $2,000 a year. People are going bankrupt right now because of their the extraordinarily high cost of pharmaceuticals. IRS tax enforcement. We have too many people in America who are not paying their fair share. Those of us who do will be pleased. Now the IRS will have better systems, services, support, and personnel to ensure that Americans are following the law. And then the carried interest loophole. Many people know that managers of very profitable hedge funds, particularly in New York City and large metropolitan areas in the country, pay much less tax than just about any other American based on gains rather than the income tax. That's going to generate about $14 billion, the carried interest loophole. It's going to save us $300 billion a year because we're actually doing what we all do, negotiate. And then, we're investing in the climate. You know, Chad, if people don't now recognize what is at risk relative to our carbon emissions around the world, then we're in big trouble. Anyone with children, grandchildren, who cares about the future has to start recognizing that. Five. The question is, will we? We are finally taking some really bold steps that won't be punitive, that will actually help this country migrate to a clean energy economy. And as for inflation, Chad, it is terribly destructive. It's a global phenomena, not easy to rectify, but there's a reason that the bill that Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer finally have sent down to, or will be sending down to us, is called the Inflation Reduction Act, because people will see their costs decrease because of the provisions in this bill. And I'm excited about it. I ask people to take a good look at it and recognize the United States is backed, and we're now, just moments ago, we passed the CHIPS Act, which is finally going to make the United States competitive again in the production of microchips. We've ceded that to Taiwan, increasingly to China. We've done some remarkable work this week, and I'm really proud and excited by it.
So I want you to expand on what is going on with certain groups associated with your party, where they're going to races across the country where some of the more adamant believers in Donald Trump's lie are running. These are folks who are convinced the president won and that still believe he should be president today. And that groups associated with the Democrats are supporting them, as opposed to the more mainstream Republicans who are in the race, feeling as if the Trump supporters get in the race, that the Democrats have a better chance to win. Is this the way that Democrats should be spending their money?
No, it's wrong. And I was very public in my disappointment and my disgust. I've taken a lot of heat here from some colleagues in the last couple of days, but I think it's despicable. And in this case, John Gibbs is the opponent of Peter Meyer, a Republican who had the courage and principle to join 9 other Republicans in impeaching Donald Trump in the second impeachment. He's a voice of decency, a voice of reason, a smart member of Congress. And John Gibbs is a dangerous man who still propagates the big lie. And the fact that Democrats are promoting the very people that we have demonstrated are so dangerous to this country, I find appalling, despicable, and downright dangerous. And I'm not shy to let people know.
Do you want Joe Biden to run in 2024? Because the number of Democrats who don't is staggeringly high.
I have respect for Joe Biden. I think he has, despite some mistakes and some missteps, despite his age, I think he's a man of decency, of good principle, of compassion, of empathy, and of strength. But to answer your question directly, which I know is quite rare, Chad, no, I don't. I think the country would be well served by a new generation of compelling, well-prepared, dynamic Democrats to step up. And with that, I hope we see a resurgence of the principled center-right Republican Party reform. And that's why I'm so upset about Democrats actually taking out the very types of Republicans that could help do so. The Anthony Gonzalez's of the world, the Peter Myers of the world, the Fred Uptons of the world, good Republicans who have either retired because the writing was on the wall or who will unfortunately be facing primaries that are unwinnable. We need to have more principle in our politics. We need common sense. And I'm afraid that both parties are part of a significant problem that Americans should take heed of. And I do believe political competition would be healthy.
So I don't want to get this lost. You are a prominent member of Congress. Your bipartisan group is getting bigger and bigger. You are now making news by saying that you do not want Joe Biden to run. Do you think this view is shared by many others in Congress? And would you encourage them to speak out as you have in this conversation?
You know, we're still ways off from the next election cycle, but that doesn't change my perspective, and I want to make it clear. What I hope is that other Democrats step up. Competition is good. We should never pre-anoint anybody. I think Joe Biden has served our country admirably with principle and with decency at a time where we surely needed it. But I am part of a caucus here in Congress where our 3 top leaders are over 80 years old, where the president will be over 80 in the next election. And I think it's time for a generational change. I'm not shy to say that. I do believe that most of my colleagues feel the same way. But what I care most about, Chad, and I'll make my final decision when I know how things shake out, but we cannot allow Donald Trump or one of his minions to return to the White House. For this country, we need people of principle, be them Democrats or Republicans, in the White House. And I do think that some able, willing, and extraordinarily talented Democrats, that part of a generational shift that is forthcoming. And I'm optimistic. So, yes, the answer is most of my colleagues, I do believe, feel the same.
Let's finish with this. One of the last times we talked, it was about a bill, Pathways to Policing. and coming together. Tell me where we're at, and are we going to see progress in states, including Minnesota, that would benefit from this bill?
Chad, I'm for listeners who aren't aware, Minnesota has a wonderful program called Pathways to Policing. It provides resources to police departments to recruit able, talented cadets to become police officers, and allows for them, those who have chosen other career paths, to make a change and provide compensation while they're going to school so that they then join police departments and, frankly, replace the many thousands of police officers who have left the field in Minnesota and tens of thousands around the country. I thought it was such a wonderful program that I felt we should replicate it around the country. I now have 8 Democratic and 8 Republican co-sponsors of the Pathways to Policing Act at the federal level. And I'm very optimistic. I met with the Speaker of the House just last week. I don't like to overpromise, but I'm hopeful that we will pass Pathways to Policing in the House within the next number of weeks and hopefully get it through the Senate and on to the White House. Klobuchar is leading in the Senate, which makes me optimistic as well that it can do so. And I think we Democrats will be passing a number of police funding measures, investing in mental health, in recruitment, in training, and to ensure that public safety remains one of our top priorities, both in Minnesota and around the country.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it as always. We'll reach out again soon.
And keep the faith as always, Chad.
Congressman Dean Phillips absolutely making news, saying that he does not want Joe Biden to run, and saying that he fully expects others in his caucus, the Problem Solvers Caucus, to say the same thing. That is notable.